Hallelujah. Very powerful message. Amen. See, the next gen is in the house. Amen. God is really moving in the lives of those young people. Amen. But right now, we come to the point of service where we're going to hear three different speakers, three powerful speakers from our God's anointed now generation. Amen. It's going to be a very powerful, powerful preaching. So let's focus right now. Let's place our attention and let's prepare ourselves for what God has in store for us this morning. Amen. As I introduce our first speaker, Sister Janie. Amen. She's no stranger to Victory Outreach. A little bit about her. She's 24 years old and she's been a part of Victory Outreach for 4 years. Amen. And she's also an alumni of the West Coast Urban Training Center. Amen. And a fun fact about her, she loved mint chocolate ice cream. Amen. Amen. So with that said, let's give Sister Janie a hand as she brings forth the word of God this morning.
Amen. Amen. I'm grateful. Amen. How many know that was powerful, Elias singing? Man, that blesses my heart. Amen. And I just want to thank God for, you know, our leaders, our pastors, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. You know, they've done a lot for us to be here. You know, they laid the foundation. I love to hear our pastor's story about him coming here with nothing. He just came by faith. And we're blessed to have a beautiful building. Amen. Somewhere to come to praise God. Amen. To encounter the Lord. Amen. And I just want to thank God for the ministry of Victory Outreach. Pastor Sunny and Sister Julie for being the founders of our ministry for by faith, right? They heard from God and they were obedient, and now we have the ministry of Victory Outreach. Amen. And also, of course, I want to thank God for my salvation. Thank God that he touched my life. Amen. And this morning I was in prayer while I was in here, and I was like, man, God's presence is here. Amen. And I was just broken. I was like, God, I don't separate time for anybody, but I separate time for God, because, man, he's important. How many know that we need God in our life? Amen. So I just want to thank God for my salvation. And yeah, like they were saying, Winter Retreat was powerful. Man, not only were we able to see Elias, Juju, and Cedric be touched, but man, us as young adults, we were touched too. And there was a lot of different speakers. And I'm going to share a couple of points from different ones. And then I'm going to talk about the one that ministered the most to me. Amen. And Pastor Gil, he was on the recap video. He was my staff in the training center. And he was Brother Gil back then. And just to see his process, it blessed my life. And it showed me that I can never stop growing. Amen. Because that was my staff. And a point that he made that ministered to me, he said, let your zeal impact you. Amen. And how many know that sometimes we got to let our zeal, our joy impact us? You know, we can't focus on the negative. Amen. And Pastor Gabe, he preached a powerful message about Judas. And he said that Judas kissed the door to heaven and still went to hell. You know, that's heavy, because when he went, I don't know if you guys understand, but when he went and turned Jesus in, he went and kissed him. So he kissed the door to heaven, but still went to hell. Amen. And he said, Judas turned Jesus in and killed himself. And that place is called the Field of Blood. And one thing that Pastor Gabe said that ministered to me was, every generation has a field of blood. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes we can turn Jesus in and it's never enough. And how many know that the suicide rates are going up? But it just goes to show that without Jesus, life is pointless. And that's why it's so important that we're sharing and ministering. Amen. And my favorite preaching was from our international overseer of the gang, was Pastor Ryan. And his title was Sensing a Sift. Amen. And I'm going to speak out of Luke 22:31-34, and the scriptures will be on the screens, amen, says this, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of us as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times that you ever knew me. Amen. And that's the heavy scripture. And I'm just going to pray in. Amen. God, I come before you, Lord, and I just thank you for this scripture, God. And I just pray, God, that you would minister to every heart, God, that you would be able, God, to do exactly what you know, what everyone needs, Father. We love you and we thank you in your heavenly name. Amen. So, yeah, Pastor Ryan was talking about sensing a sift, amen? And I'm going to share a couple of points that he made, and then I'm going to share what I've received from it, amen? And it says, The devil wants to sift us like wheat. Not only does he want to take us out, but he wants to expose us. Amen. He wants to, you know, those things, those secret things that we do, he wants to expose us to make us look bad, right? And I thought that was heavy, because when I read that for the first time, he wants to sift us, I thought he just wants to take us out. But no, Satan wants us to think bad about ourselves. Satan wants others to think bad about us. He wants to change the views that we have on ourselves, amen? He wants to attack our views. But how many know that our Father, amen, our friend, is interceding on our behalf? It says that Jesus is praying for us. And how many know that we don't want Jesus' prayers to go in vain? We want to prove him right, that, man, we can withstand the sift that the enemy is trying to attack us with, amen? Pastor Ryan said, when the call wakes up inside of us, the enemy wakes up against you. Amen. And how many know that, man, once we understand the call of God, the enemy hates it. Amen. But that's why we got to be able to stand firm. And the next point he made was, we cannot do anything with quitters. God can work with failures, but he can't work with quitters. Amen. And that was heavy, because, man, God isn't looking for perfect people. And this is one thing that I've really, really been learning, is God is not looking for perfect people. He understands that we mess up, but he can't do anything with people that quit. Pastor Ryan said, we can't take the nations with emotional people, amen, that are led by their emotions, but we got to be able to know how to hold ourselves together, amen, even in the midst of the sifting, amen. I was studying this because, you know, on Friday I spoke about Ruth, and it's similar, because Peter was saying, like, man, Jesus, I want to go to prison with you. But how many know that when we speak something, there's going to be action that needs to be taken after that, and there's going to be a testing, amen? And every word that we speak, we have to back up, amen? And Pastor Ryan said one more thing that really stood out to me, and it was, the mantle will always be bigger than you. Amen. And every time I go to these retreats, I realize that there's a bigger mantle. Amen. Like, man, as soon as you start to feel like you're getting in the groove of things, there's a bigger mantle to carry. And that ministered to me, because I felt that at Women's Leadership, and then going to Winter Retreat, watching my staff share. And every time I see them, they're always challenging me, like, don't get caught up in the local. Like, it's, of course, I'm going to put everything I have, my whole heart, into the local, but there's an international need. And not just that, like, man, when I'm here, when I speak, and it's proven, when I speak to Elias, when I speak to Juju, when I speak to Cedric, that we're sharing the international vision, because it's taking place. Elias led, you know, like, he's being a part of the international movement. That means our church is being a part. Amen. And I'm just going to share two more scriptures, and it's Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, and it says, I will go before you, and I will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summoned you by name. Amen. And how many know that that's our promise scripture, right? And every time I go to these events, I'm reminded that it's so much bigger than myself, and it's so much bigger than just Milwaukee, that we have to really, really do our part here so that others can be sent, because, man, there's hurting people and there's hurting nations. And just as Elias was sharing, when he was leading, I was so broken, because he was like, he was ministering to the new gen, and he was saying, how many know that we go through things too? And we got to remember that, man, this generation, they're going through some tough things. And just like he was saying, Pastor Mike was saying, man, if you have anxiety, if you have depression, if you're having suicidal thoughts, and these kids are broken at the altar. One of the kids came up and was like, man, my dad just left, and he was just sharing all these things that he's going through. I think he was 12 years old. You know, the enemy is after this next generation, and it's so important that we remember that we're a frontline ministry. It says that we're going to take treasures out of darkness. We're snatching souls from hell. Amen. That's our purpose, and we can't take it lightly. Amen. We can't take it lightly what's taking place. And the next scripture I'm going to share is Isaiah 59:21, and it says this, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, and on the lips of your children, and on the lips of the descendants, from the time on, this time on, and forever, says the Lord. Amen. And this is the promise scripture of the third wave. Amen. And how many know that we're descendants, amen? And if we want to see our, the rest of everybody, our descendants blessed, then it's important that we take our place and we do our part so that they can be blessed, amen? Because, man, Juju, there was one night where Juju was like, I got to go talk to my uncle. Where's my uncle? And I was like, I think he's back. We separated. So I think he was back in his cabin, but he was like, I received a word tonight. I need to talk to my grandma. I need to talk to my uncle. And man, that blesses my heart that our descendants are inheriting the promise. They're taking their place. You know, Cedric too, I was so broken. There was one night where I was just broken next to Cedric and I just couldn't stop telling him, like, I'm so proud of you. Because man, they go through tough things, amen. And how many know that those people out there, they're going through some tough things, and the only way out sometimes is, they were talking a lot about suicide, you know, is they think that that's the only way out. But how many know that Jesus is the answer, amen? And so with that, I'm just going to close out in a word of prayer, amen. God, I come before you, Lord, and I just thank you, God. I thank you that we have an opportunity to make an impact, God, that you've chosen a people like us, not a perfect people, God, but a willing people, a people that won't quit, Father God. I pray that you would cover, God, the next speaker, Lord God, and the rest of this service. We love you and we thank you in your heavenly name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Powerful, powerful stuff. Our next generation is so very important, you know. The enemy, he wants to do his best to try to stop them from answering the calling of God. And suicide right now is really at a high rate. You know, the enemy's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. Behind us, no, we got a man by the name of Jesus Christ that's able to set us free. So with that said, let's continue on this morning. We're going to hear from our next speaker, amen. She's no stranger, amen. She's our senior pastor's daughter, amen. She's changed, you know. I'm just so blown away by what God has done in her life, amen. For you may not know a little bit about her, she's currently a student out there at our Urban Training Center in Amsterdam, Holland, amen. Amen. She's, like I said, she's the pastor's kid, amen. I've been knowing her since I've been saved, and to see what God is doing in her life is truly a blessing. And there's a fun fact about her. She says she loves anything spicy. She likes spicy foods. I love spicy foods too, especially hot Cheetos. Amen. So with that said, let's give Sister Bianca a hand as she brings forth the word of God this morning. Amen.
Amen, amen. How's everybody doing this wonderful, beautiful Sunday morning? Man, it's a blessing to be speaking to you guys today. I don't take it lightly to be behind this pulpit. For those who don't know me, my name is Bianca. I'm 22 years old. And man, I first and foremost thank God for my salvation. I mean, without God, I wouldn't be standing here before you guys today. I'm truly grateful for everything that he's doing within my life. I want to thank God for my pastors, my mom and dad. I'm truly grateful for you guys. Without you guys, I wouldn't be here. And I love you guys so much. But first, let's open up in a word of prayer. If everybody can bow their heads, close their eyes. Dear God, I thank you, God, for this morning, God. I pray, God, that you would move me to a side, God, remove any fear, anything that is not of you, God. Speak through me, God, so that your word, God, can go forth with the clarity and a boldness. In your name I pray, amen. So like you guys know, we just came back from a winter retreat. Man, it was truly an awesome experience right there in Glorieta, New Mexico on the mountaintop. We drove there. It was like a 19-hour drive, right? And man, that drive was something else. We had three new Jenners in the back seat. And amen, thank God for the patience that he's been giving me lately, because Lord knows I needed it. But no, it was amazing. The experience was like no other. I think this is the first winter retreat I went to where I truly had a relationship with God, a genuine relationship. So just going with a different posture and perspective, man, God was really able to speak to my heart. And I'm so grateful. But one thing that stood out to me, there was great messages, preachings, dynamic worship and all that. But one thing that stood out to me was seeing the vision of our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, unfolding right before my eyes, right? If you guys don't know, our founders, their vision from the beginning until this day has always been winning souls for Jesus, right? That's their vision of this ministry. And that's what I saw at that winter retreat, is I saw souls saved by God. I seen people with the salvation, people that had a purpose, a joy, and ultimately people that were a part of something great. Amen. And if you're taking notes today, the title of my message is A Decision to Be a Part of the Vision. Look to your neighbor and say, your decision. Amen. A decision to be a part of the vision. And at that winter retreat, I saw, man, not only one, not two, but hundreds, right, of young adults aligned with the vision of our ministry, right, serving God. And how many know in order to find yourself just like them aligned with the vision, we first have to know the vision and decide to be a part of it. And at some point or another, you know, we all have to come to that place in our life where we're like, man, this is my ministry. This is my church. I decide to be a part of what's taking place. And, you know, just to be a part of the vision and know that it's something truly great. For those, you know, who have been coming for a while, I encourage you guys, you know, really tune in and really put your hands to the plow to what God is doing. Because how many know that it takes us making that decision so God can not only do something in our lives, but through our lives, right? And I know we might have some newcomers here today, you know, some that are not really maybe don't have a full understanding about what our ministry is about. But I encourage you guys, man, get connected with the leaders here. You know, if you want to speak to me after the service to learn more and just to hear about what God is doing right now. But you know, one day sooner or later, we're going to have to come to that decision, right, to follow God and what he's called us for. And I know for myself, man, I ran for years from the calling of God. For those who don't know, Jason said, I'm the pastor's daughter. I grew up in this ministry, and church was never something I wanted for myself. I always thought it was just for my parents. But, you know, I came to a point in my life where I was like, man, like, I have to make this decision. Am I going to follow God? Am I going to, you know, do the things of the world? And, sorry. And yeah, so one thing about it is I made the decision a lot harder than it had to be. How many know you know, in this generation, we make things a lot harder than it has to be. And I still sometimes make things a lot harder than it has to be, but amen, we're growing. You know, I chose the things of the world and for a long time, for years, and I thought that's what made me happy, but all it really brought me was pain, suffering. And, you know, I chose that over choosing God, which brings, man, a joy, a peace, and a purpose, right? But the only way that I was able to experience that joy and that purpose was being a part of this vision and being a part of, you know, the vision that God has given our ministry, right? That ultimately brings a purpose and a joy. In Jeremiah 29:11, it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give a hope and to give a future," right? And how many know that's the God we serve? We serve a God that he knows what he has in plan, what he has in store for us, right? And I don't know about you, but when I put my faith in God, when I put my trust in God, man, he hasn't done anything to harm me, right? He's only restored me. He's only given me a hope, a purpose, right? And, you know, now I find myself in God's will and God's plan. And I'm a student in the UTC over there in Amsterdam. I'm going back soon. And, you know, never did I think that I would find myself in Amsterdam. And never did I really think that I would find myself as a UTC student. I ran from that for a lot of years, too. And for those who don't know what the UTC is, the UTC is a training center for young adults. You can go there, you get trained and equipped, you learn more about our ministry, the vision of our ministry, and ultimately you go there in hopes to become a leader to make a difference in this generation, right? But, you know, I decided to be a part of it, and it's something great that I'm a part of, right? And, you know, And, you know, being there, I've witnessed everything that God's doing there, and it's truly something great. And how many know that when you're a part of something great, you're bound to do something great, right? And how many know ultimately it's because of the God we serve? The God we serve, he's a great God, right? And, you know, I find myself living in a different country, spreading the love of God and making a difference. And I see myself fulfilling one of our promise scriptures, which is Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. For those who don't know, it's a promise scripture that was given to our founders. And it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, for you will spread out to the right and the left. Your descendants will dispossess the nations and settle in their desolate cities." And how many know that's what's taking place over there in Amsterdam? We're dispossessing that nation. How many know in Milwaukee we're dispossessing the city, right? We're reaching souls, and that's the whole goal. And, you know, and we're not holding back, because I don't know about you, but I held back for way too long, right? I held back and I let the devil allow allow me to be comfortable in my own little comfort zone. But how many know that we can't hold back anymore, because there's people out there that are waiting on our yes to God, right? For us to step out and reach those that are out there that are lost and bound. But, you know, I found myself being a part of something great. And in Genesis 12:2, it reads, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And how many know that when you're a part of something great like the vision, it starts off as a blessing in your life. But when you continue to grow in the vision and the greatness of the vision, you will find yourself becoming a blessing, right? Becoming a blessing to others. And how many want to be a blessing, right? A blessing to our family, to our loved ones, to those who are out there that are in need. And I know before... I didn't have God in my life. I was everything but a blessing. Can I keep it real here this morning? I wasn't a blessing. But if anything, the Bible talks about either you're in the blessings of the Lord or you find yourself in cursings of the world, right? And in Deuteronomy 11:26-27, it reads, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. This blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today. And then in chapter 30, verse 19, it reads, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose in life order that you may live and that your descendants may live. And how many know that in this scripture in verse 30, we see that it says, so choose in life, right? And how many know that one thing that I've learned in the ups and the downs in life is that everything happens by choice and not by chance, right? Everything happens by choice. The decisions we make and everything, it happens by choice. You know, we can't just live day to day and expect God to do great things in our life if we don't make that choice to put ourselves in position for him to do so, right? It's not going to happen by chance. I hate to break it to you. You know, we can't just come to services, show up here and there and expect God to move. No, we have to make a choice to be a part of it. We have to make a choice to really put our hands to the plow, right? And you know, we have to make that choice and we have to make a decision ultimately. And you know, nobody can force you. I know for many years, man, people were trying to, not that they were forcing me, but they were trying to, what's the saying? You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't force them to drink it, right? And how many know that ultimately it's up to us? We have that choice, right? And I remember my dad, he would always tell me and my older brother, he would say, you know, it's up to you whether you want to follow God now or later, but one way or another, you're going to find yourself in desperate need of him. And I would always be like, yeah, okay, whatever. But I remember that's where I found myself, you know? I found myself going day to day, doing things that I thought brought me a fulfillment, a joy. And ultimately, I found myself severely depressed, man. Like, I would isolate. I wouldn't want to talk to people. And I would do these things that I thought would fulfill me. And I found myself ultimately just hating life, you know, until one day, you know, I really cried out to God. I'm like, man, God, like, I can't live like this no more. I see the things that I'm doing that's not bringing me nowhere. I see it's not bringing me joy. And ultimately, my dad was right. I found myself in need of God, right? And I made that decision to follow God, right? And ever since then, man, life has never been better. I could truly tell you guys that with God, he brings such a peace. He brings such a joy. And man, I'm a living testimony of that, right? And I might not know what you guys are going through here today, but I want to let you guys know that there's a God that loves you. There's a God, he has a plan and a purpose for your life. It doesn't matter your age, your background, what you might be facing today. God has a plan for you guys, amen? And, you know, I want to just leave you guys off with today. You have the choice. You have the choice to be a part of something great. I mean, I know the world, it might seem like they have great things to offer, but there's nothing more fulfilling than serving a God that's great and being able to be a part of what he's doing, right? And I just want to leave you guys with that. You know, to be a part of the vision that has been given to our ministry. How many know we serve in an international ministry all over the world? It's not just taking place here in Milwaukee, but all over the world, right? And it's honestly an honor and a privilege to say that I'm a part of that. And I want to let you guys know that you can be a part of that here this morning as well. But I want to encourage you guys, stay connected, get close to the leaders here in the ministry, in the church. And I'm just going to go ahead and close out with that. Dear God, I thank you, God, for this time, God. I thank you, God, for the message, God, that you have put within my heart, God, to speak to your people, God. I pray, God, that each and every person here this morning got something, God. And I pray, God, for the next speaker that comes up today, God. In your name we pray, amen.
Woo! Praise the Lord. Wow. Wow, you spoke so eloquently and very well. And it's true, a decision to be a part of the vision. It's very important that this decision, we have to understand this decision is not just for us. I like what she said in the beginning, the vision, you know, it's all about us and to be, you know, to be see blessing. But as we grow in our relationship with God, the vision got to be become about others. That's why we find ourselves in the house of God this morning, because our founders caught it. Elders, people that come along the way, they got to a place where the vision became about others. That's why it's very important that we not just come into the church of God. It's a start, but to be a part of what's taking place. Because God needs people. He needs people like you and I to raise up, to do our part, so that others that are still out there lost and bound can experience what God has for their lives. Amen. Powerful, powerful stuff. But right now, we're going to hear from our third speaker. Amen. This morning, we know who he is. He's no stranger to the house of God. Our brother, Alberto Rodriguez. Come on, somebody. Amen. He's come a long way. Many of you may not know him. A few things about him. He's 35 years old. He's been a member of Victory Outreach since 2012. He's currently the overseer of our God's Anointed Young Generation Ministry. And a fun fact about him, he cannot beat me in basketball. Amen. With that said, Alberto, as he brings forth the word of God this morning.
Amen. 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 That's funny. Pride wants to kick in right now and challenge him right after service. Amen. But I'm going to humble myself. Amen. First off, I just want to thank God for my salvation. You know, something you guys may or may not know is I was definitely a disciple in the making that didn't get it right the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, fifth time, so on and so forth. And earlier this week, I was talking with my pastor, and he said, you know, as many times as you left, nobody ever was able to come back and be in the position that you're in. And that broke me, because I know that I don't belong to be here. Just alive and breathing, let alone to be trusted behind this pulpit. And I want to thank God for this ministry, for Victory Outreach International. How many know that we have such a powerful, powerful ministry? Amen? And first and foremost, and not lastly, but I want to always give honor where honor is due. And I want to thank Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene for this opportunity, for everything that you guys do for us, for everything that you do for the city of Milwaukee, for all the ups and downs. And you guys are such great examples of what it means to be an end time disciple. I'm just going to go ahead and pray. Father God, I would just come before you, my God, as a humble man, my Lord. And I just ask that you remove me to the side. And you just have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The scripture today that I'm going to be using is John chapter 4, verses 37 through 38, and it's the NLT version. But before I get into that, I just want to announce the title of this message, and it's called Hold the Line. And, you know, I wanted to elaborate and revisit what took place at the winter retreat, but I believe Sister Janie and Sister Bianca did such an amazing job on recapping that for us. But it's brought such great joy to see Elias seeing on such an international level. And, you know, it brings excitement to know that Milwaukee is being noticed on an international level. At the women's retreat, we were known for our hospitality, and now we're known for having singers and true worshipers in Christ. And I could talk about everything that took place in the car, or I can even talk about somebody getting pulled over and getting the ticket. But we're not going to talk about that here this day. Amen? You see, hold the line is a saying that's used during battle. And I'm a history buff. Jason, you should have used that as the fun fact, not the fact that you tell lies. Amen? And I was always fascinated with the ways that warfare evolved. You know, and one thing that you guys don't know is that what took place in the Revolutionary War was that they would march and they would all line up and there would be three, four, you know, lines of soldiers behind them. And their orders was not to shoot until they see the white behind the eye of their pulpit. And they would, with 6-foot guns, okay, amen, it took about a minute to reload the gun. You had to put the gunpowder in there, then the bullet, then you had to stuff it, and then cock it back, and boom. Talk about being at a disadvantage. And for the first line, they would say, you know, halt, and then boom, and then they would kneel down. And then the next line, and the next line, and so on and so forth. But then came the time for the enemy to shoot their shot. And they had to stand there knowing that they were going to get hit. But the crazy thing that you guys may or may not know about the Revolutionary War and the guns at that time is that they were not very accurate. So you could be literally aiming at you and it'll hit the guy next to you. And how many know that that happens in church? When the enemy has an aim on us, but it might hit somebody else, our brothers. That's why our sister. That's why it's important that we continue to pray for one another, encourage one another, love one another, teach one another. Amen? Hold the line. You see, when you don't hold the line, somebody else will hold the line for you. You see, they had drummers and fifers, and because it was so noisy, because it was so noisy and they had cannons going off and this and that, they would use the drums to dictate what was taking place in the battlefield. Amen? And when I started doing research on this, I was like, man, that's kind of like worship. You ever feel like you're in a battlefield and you can't see straight? You're starting to doubt the promises of God. You're starting to doubt if you can go another day of being sober, if you can go another day of coming to service, if you can go another day of fasting and praying. Do you ever get confused and you don't know exactly what's taking place? But then you put yourself in the area of worship. You saturate yourself in the area of worship. And then you start to remember who God is in your life. Then you start to remember the promises in your life. Then you start to remember that you do have the victory in Jesus. You see, I'm here to talk to you guys tonight because there was common themes that was taking place at the winter retreats. One was about continuing the legacy. One was about character and how our international gang overseer was upset at the fact that he keeps seeing men and women leaving and going and standing and saying this and doing one thing and the other. Another theme was the fact of people playing the part like Judas, who got to witness all the miracles, who was close, who was one of Jesus' right-hand guys. But yet they always had doubts. Always wondered if it was real. Now I'm going a little, let me go to the scripture, amen. Again, it's in John chapter 4, verses 37 through 38. And the scripture reads, "You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you don't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest." That scripture ministered to me because we are a ministry that's been around for over 55 years, where men and women harvest year after year, trial after trial. And one thing that was challenging at the winter retreat was the invitation to the third wave, to the gang, to the God's anointed now generation to join in on this fight, to join in on this harvest. See, another portion of scripture talks about that the workers are few, but the harvest is plentiful. And how many know that we come from great men of God, great women of God, our very own pastors, who knows what it means to put in the work, who knows what it means to hold the line. If they would have never held the line, none of us will be here this day. None of us. Hold the line. Do we have men and women here this day that are willing to hold the line? Do we have young adults and high schoolers and students that are willing to hold the line? I want to challenge some of you parents who have kids, high schoolers, college students, where you know that God is real and what's taking place in this church is real. And I know that it might affect your daily routine, your daily schedule, but your kids need to be here on Tuesdays, on Fridays, on Wednesdays, on Sundays. Because just as much as you need Jesus, so do they. The enemy's not playing jokes. He's not playing around. One of the heaviest preachings was Pastor Gilbert. And he talked about Judas, and I'm not going to, but man, it was so powerful that the lights went out. The enemy's covers got so pulled that he decided to try to shut us down by in the area of worship and the altar call, where he knows that that's where generational curses are broken, where breakthroughs are given, where salvation is taking place. And did it stop us? No. And you want to know why? Because we had, that wasn't the first time at an event or a local level, international level, that the lights went out because the word of God went forth. You see, but we understand that we have leadership before us that knows how to hold the line regardless of what the situation is, regardless of what the circumstance is. We understand what it means to press through. And you know what? The power of God was still there. The power of God was, the altar call still took place. Praise and worship still took place. Breakthrough still took place in the midst of the enemy trying to capture that moment. In the midst of him trying to let us know that he's right in front of our face. But we got to know that we have the victory. We got to let him know that we ain't playing around either, that we too are holding the line. I never back down from anything in the world, and I back down a lot of things in Christ, but I've learned now. The devil messed up. He messed up. He got me a little angry. He got me a little upset. Are you guys angry and upset of the things that he's doing in your life, of what he's trying to tell you, the lies and the deceitfulness, and that you're never going to change, or you're just like your father, you're just like your mother? And are you guys tired of hearing that, of hearing those lies? I had to remind myself this week about holding the line. There's three themes that I believe that the generations before us incorporated and continue to incorporate. And those three themes are prayer, fasting, and giving. Those three themes right there is why we find ourselves here this day. Those three themes are the reason why we're located in over 30 plus countries. Praying, fasting, and giving. Gang, for you young adults, high schoolers, and students, I want to let you know that the platform has already been established. And we just did a little quick makeover to even just show you guys that we're taking this serious. And I have to challenge the gang leadership, including myself, that there's been times where I say, hey, we're going to do this, this, and that, and it's gone nowhere. But I'm putting my foot down, and I hope that you guys put your foot down with me and we hold the line together. We need to start evangelizing at high schools. We need to start having regular meetings. We need to continue to pour into our pastors and stay close to our pastors, because they hear us. They didn't give us this platform just to not do anything with it. I want to challenge Paulino to bring your kids. And you said that you wanted to help with the gang. And I could use you. I need you. And I don't mean to pull you out, but Paulino, you're a good man of God. And I know that God has so much more in your life. But it's going to call for more dedication. I didn't know you were going to be here today, but Janessa, first off, I want to apologize for not being the leader when I first came into the church. But I want to let you know that God still has a plan for your life. And I would love to see you here, because you belong here. You have so many giftings and such a heavy calling upon your life that God wants to use you. The God's Anointed Now generation is on a move. It brings me such great joy to see Elias and Cedric and Junior to be used at such a young age. I thank God for this platform that they have. Because I know that those three young men, when they grow up and they become high schoolers to young adults, that they're going to take the gang ministry to another level. I shared with Bianca the other day when we were looking at the gang sanctuary, and I said, Pastor Felipe and Sister Lily, they laid down a solid foundation. My job is to build on it, so that when it's my turn to hand that mantle, that they can continue to build on it and go from glory to glory. I can't wait to see what's going to take place in the gang sanctuary when I hand it off. Maybe a full-blown screen or some, you know, I don't know, a full-blown, you know, worship team and this and that. I believe it. I see it. I know that it's going to take place. We need to understand that if we don't hold the line, just like in the Revolutionary War, you see, the purpose of them holding the line and going through all the opposition that they went through was that they won their freedom, the freedoms that we very much take advantage of. And how many know that when we hold the line as men of God, as women of God, that we provide freedom, but in the area of not going to hell? That we provide freedom for someone to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and to be accepted into the family of believers and to grow and to be used in a mighty and powerful way. We are not here to be seat warmers. We are not here to be here on our own agenda, and we're definitely not here to play, the love boat, searching and this and that. I want to let you guys know right now, man, if you guys have impure motives like that, you will be taken out. God looks at the motives of people. God does not play around. I shared with the leadership the other day that sometimes it's hard for me, and with Sister Marlene, sometimes it's hard for me to work with individuals when I feel like they're not getting it. Because it's like, man, do they get how serious this is? You know, I say this behind the pulpit that God allowed certain things to take place in my walk to humble me and to make this serious. And one of the hardest lessons that I had to learn was seeing my brother overdose and die and lose his life. And that was the biggest wake-up call that God ever gave me. And if I'm honest and if I can be transparent with you guys, it was in 2017 when I truly started to take my walk with God seriously. So I'm telling you guys this. I'm telling you guys this maybe it is to cause a little fear in you. Amen? To fear the Lord. To have reverence for the Lord. To take this matter serious. I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy upon my life. We have to come to a place where we stop even thinking about leaving. I'm tired of hearing guys saying that I'm going to leave. Stop it. Did you forget how messed up you were when you came into these church doors? Stop saying you're going to leave. What's out there for you? There's nothing out there. You know that. But because you get your feelings hurt or you're going through it, you want to give up. You want to not hold the line anymore, leaving us open for an attack. But I thank God that there's men of God, there's women of God, there's students, there's high schoolers, there's young adults that are rising up so that if somebody does leave, you will be replaced. God's not playing around. The platform has been established not only for the gang, but also for you guys. Look at this beautiful sanctuary that we have. The worship team, the media team, everything that we have in place. It's time for us now to hold the line. As the worship team comes and makes their way, please. I want to challenge everybody and welcome you guys to come to these altars and tell God that you're here to hold the line. The Winter Retreat was such a powerful, powerful event. And one thing that broke my heart was when my nephew, whom I've had since he was 1 year old, and he would come to car washes with us. And he was always involved in the ministry. And he said, "Uncle, am I going to be a PK? And I know I'm not his father. I know I'm not his father. But I said, yeah, you are going to be a PK. One thing that we all need to know is that we're all PKs because we have a heavenly, we have a spiritual father here. We're all sons and daughters of the true living God. We need to come to a place that we say, no matter what, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, that we're not going to leave. No matter what the checkbook says, we're still going to give. No matter if death or illness or sickness takes place in our lives, that we're not going to leave. That we're not run by emotions. That we stop believing the past lies of our lives. And I'm not trying to be insensitive. I know that this life is tough and it's hard and it will beat you down. But do you know what's good about when life beats you down? It helps you to get on your knees so you can pray to God. We have to change our mentality on how we see things when things are bombarding us. I'm starting to realize that when the enemy gives me a good lick and I find myself stumbling, I stumble to my knees and I pray to my God. As the worship team sings.
There's a shifting in the atmosphere.
Come on, church. I want to challenge you guys to come forward.
And the prayer.